back to Hello and welcome to the news recorded on Wednesday the 14th of June. I'm Margaret.
I'm Sue.
And I'm Joyce.
And your sound engineers this week are John and Martin. And this week we'd like to welcome the following new member, who is Dennis Cousin. We hope you enjoy receiving your disc. Next, we'd like to say a big thank you to the listener who have kindly sent us a donation last week towards the funding of our Talking News and magazine. And he is John Cartwright. So once again, thank you for your donation. And that really counts towards the running of the Talking newspaper and magazine. And now Sue will start us off with the news.
A boy who suffered a 25,000 volt electric shock had climbed onto a train in a freight depot, police revealed, as they launched a railway safety campaign. It emerged a week after the 13-year-old boy was seriously injured in the incident in Wensbury. Another boy, also aged 13, suffered with minor burns after receiving an electric shock while coming to his aid. British Transport police officers were handing out leaflets in the nearby community to raise awareness of safety on railway lines. Officers say they believe the boys entered the Bescot depot through an unauthorised access point at the site fence. Inspector Jackie Wilson from the Falls said officers wanted to ensure that parents and their children were aware of the dangers. She added, "We are also not apportioning blame, but simply setting out the risks to try and stop others from taking them. One boy is extremely lucky to be alive, and we continue to support his family following this tragic incident. Our focus now is to stop this from happening again and to work with the community to protect other children. We are patrolling the area to deter trespassers, and we are visiting local schools and talking to students to make sure they understand the hazards of the railway." Police say one of the boys suffered 40% burns. The other boy went to help by pushing him away from the current, but in touching him also received an electric shock.
Hanging onto his seat, despite it being by the narrowest of margins, was still a remarkable achievement, says Labour MP Ian Austin. The Tories had set their sights on turning it blue, but it wasn't to be, after what turned out to be a dramatic night for the Dudley North constituency. There were two recounts after the first count revealed it was neck and neck between the Labour candidate and the Conservatives' Les Jones. At just after 7 a.m, the day after the general election, the result was finally declared at Stourbridge's Crystal Leisure Centre, with Mr Austin finishing just 22 votes ahead of his Tory rival. He said, "I'm very pleased to have won. More people have voted for me in Dudley North than ever before. I think my share of the vote has gone up too." "It's always a hard-fought contest in Dudley North. I'm very pleased to have been re-elected, and I will be working hard for people, as I have always done." In the end, this was one of the seats that Theresa May called the election to win. It was one of those target seats that they spent a lot of money flooding it with material, with Theresa May all over it. Mr Austin said he now had a number of priorities following being re-elected. "I'll be working as hard as possible to improve education in Dudley." Here's a roundup of the local winning candidates. Margot James, Conservative, held Stourbridge. James Morris, Conservative, held Rowley and Hales Owen. Mike Wood, Conservative, Dudley South, including Kingswinford and Sedgley. Eleanor Smith, Labour, Wolverhampton South West. Pat McFadden, Labour, Wolverhampton South East.
Heartbroken family and friends, along with members of the community, turned out in their hundreds to say a last goodbye to a much-loved mum and son who were brutally stabbed at their Stourbridge home. During an emotional funeral service at St Mary's Church in Old Swinford, tributes were paid to Tracy and Piers Wilkinson, who were attacked at their Norton home on March the 30th. Laid to rest in a joint coffin, 50-year-old Tracy and 13-year-old Pierce were honoured by a packed congregation of family, friends, staff and students from Redhill School, where Pierce had been a pupil. The school closed for the day as a mark of respect. Husband and father, Peter Wilkinson, alongside daughter Lydia, led the funeral procession into the church, where many members of the congregation were already in tears after emotional performances of Robbie Williams' hit Angels and John Lennon's Imagine by Kidderminster Male Choir. Lydia heroically held back her emotions as she paid a touching personal tribute to her mother and brother. She said, "My mum was gorgeous, not only in her sense of fashion, but she also had a beautiful soul. She was an inspiration and my best friend. I will always aspire to be like her, and I still can't believe my closest friend has been taken from me. One of my favourite pastimes would be to sit on her bed while she got ready, and we would tell each other latest news and gossip. We were a typical mother and daughter, and I realise now how much I am her mini-me." Pierce, who would always affectionately refer to as Pippin, was simply the best brother I could have asked for. He was also always so happy and his laugh so infectious. He always enjoyed bringing the family together, and it was because of this that I shared so many happy memories with Pippin. We were as close as brother and sister could ever be. We had a true love and bond that could never be broken.
West Midlands MEP Bill Etheridge says he'll make another bid for UKIP leadership, but only if he cannot persuade Nigel Farage to return to the fold. Dudley councillor Mr Etheridge said he's due to meet former UKIP leader Mr Farage in Brussels later this week to discuss the future of the party. He says he plans to persuade Mr Farage to return as replacement for Paul Nuttall, who quit in the aftermath of UKIP's disastrous general election result. "If Nigel decides he does not want to come back, then I will definitely make my own bid for leadership," said Mr Etheridge, who came third in the first of two UKIP leadership elections last year. "I've got a lot more support than I did last time. My pitch is simply to run the party on the principles that have been previously set out by Nigel." Mr Farage stood down as UKIP leader following the EU referendum, but Mr Etheridge says there is huge support for his return from within party ranks. "Nigel is the best man for the job by a country mile, and there is huge support for him to come back," Mr Etheridge said. "We're expecting a decision from him in due course, and there are still a few important issues to discuss behind the scenes. At the moment, the chances of him making return are no better than 50-50, but I will be doing everything I can to persuade him that this is the right time for him to take the reins." UKIP's Scottish MEP, David Coburn, has said he will stand for the party leadership to stop entryists, dilettantes and single-issue loonies. Other candidates are likely to include UKIP deputy leader Peter Whittle and John Rees-Evans, who came third in the November 2016 leadership campaign that was won by Paul Nuttall.
A mother has spoken of her devastation after her son was killed by a driver on his phone and has called for a change in the law. Motorcyclist Christopher Williams, aged 24, was killed when a motorist was taking a hands-free phone call and took his eye off the road in May 2016. Driver Gary Allen was jailed for 2 years and 7 months after admitting causing death by dangerous driving. During an overtaking manoeuvre, he took a phone call via his car's Bluetooth system, took his eyes off the road, and failed to see Christopher Williams travelling towards him along the A52 away from Grantham. Christopher received fatal injuries and was pronounced dead at the scene. Now, Christopher's mother, Caroline, has called for harsher jail terms for such offences and urged drivers to think before taking a call. A 59-year-old sales coordinator said, "The law should change. People get more time for breaking into a house and stealing. Do we value possessions more than human life? It's something which seems to be brushed under the carpet. It's disgusting. The person who killed my son will leave prison in 15 months, although his life will be harder. He gets to live as normal and go back to his family. We can't ever get Chris back. My son died because the driver wasn't looking on the road. Although he was using a hands-free device, he wasn't looking at the time. I wasn't happy with the sentence, although I understand the guidance that the judges use. Ms. Williams, originally from Sutton Coalfield, moved to Wolverhampton after falling in love with the city in her 20s. Her son, Chris, grew up in Wolverhampton, going to Smestow School. Severely dyslexic, he excelled in maths, gaining an A star in his exams. He nagged his mother to get him his first motorbike, and after training as an electrician, he went on to work part-time as firefighter while studying psychology at the University of Derby. He was living there with his girlfriend, Megan Dunlop, when he died.
Police investigating the disappearance of a teenage mother nearly 14 years ago have called off a search of a graveyard after nothing was found. Following a tip-off, West Midlands Police dug up several graves this week in the search for Natalie Putt. Miss Putt, then 17, left her home in Lower Gornal, Dudley, to go to a shop in September 2003, leaving behind her baby son, then aged 11 weeks. On Wednesday, her father David said he still hoped for answers and closure. Police said investigations would continue as they had received significant calls, one in particular. Detective Inspector Ian Leafy said, "We have been conducting local inquiries to locate the man who made the telephone call from the kiosk in Lake Street. From the outset, I appealed to two people to come forward, and I now believe this person also has answers as to what happened to Natalie. All three have provided very similar information, all naming the same person as being responsible for the young mum's death." Officers were on site at the Royton Cemetery in Upper Gornal near Dudley. Police said four sarcophagus-type graves were examined without the need for any human remains to be exhumed, but nothing was found. A wider search of the whole graveyard also revealed nothing of interest. The graves have now been resealed and restored to their original condition, police said. After the latest twist in the case, her father, now 60, said, "Something's got to come to light somewhere. I just want some answers about what's happened. I don't know whether it will get any better if I do find closure," he added. "That's something that will have to come in the near future."
Workers and shoppers in Wolverhampton have this week been making their first commute since major maintenance works closed a key road into the city and a stretch of the Midland Metro tramline. The essential work to replace tram tracks and to resurface the A41 Bilston Road means drivers and tram users heading into Wolverhampton from the southeast of the city are facing 6 months of disruption. The work, which has led to cones, signs and diversions being put up on the A41 and at affected tram stops, began on June 11th and is due to be completed by Christmas. The tram line, which runs along the main carriageway, is closed from Priestfield to Wolverhampton city centre, while motorists travelling towards the city are being diverted past the mile-long work on Bilston Road. Drivers can still leave Wolverhampton using the A41, but diversions have been put in place for those looking to travel into the city, with drivers having to travel along the A463 Black Country route to the A4123 Birmingham New Road instead. With Wolverhampton, St George's and the Royal Tram stops completely out of action, people travelling to work in Wolverhampton by Midland Metro are being forced to leave the tram at the Crescent and take a replacement bus into the city centre. For people heading towards Birmingham, the tram is running as normal from Priestfield to Grand Central, and the Priestfield Park and Ride car park is still available. However, replacement bus connections are not available between Wolverhampton City Centre and Priestfield. Tram tickets are also being accepted on regular National Express 79 buses, but not on trains. The Midland Metro Alliance is carrying out the work on behalf of the West Midlands Combined Authority, which owns the Metro, and claims the changes will lead to a much improved environment on both tram and road users.
Dudley Bus Station's long-awaited planned revamp has been given a £400,000 boost, but it has emerged a controversial design where buses reverse out of stops is being considered. Work to improve the town's outdated bus station was first planned 3 years ago, but since then the project has struggled to get off the ground so far due to lack of funds. A planning application has not been formally made yet. Now, a transport project update to the Black Country Local Enterprise Partnership, LEP, has revealed that £400,000 has been allocated to the scheme. An update on the design has also been given, with one option showing the station could feature a drive-in, reverse-out facility for buses. It would see buses parking next to each other while passengers wait in a departure lounge. The buses would then reverse from the stand before continuing on their journey. The design was proposed for Stourbridge Bus Station, but later dropped after safety fears were raised. Councillor David Stanley, who is on Transport Committee for the West Midland Combined Authority, said he did not support the design. He said, "You have to think about the members of public using the station and the safety risk it would pose. I don't think it is a good idea to have buses reversing anywhere." Councillor Khurshid Ahmed was involved in the bus station project until losing his post on the cabinet early this year. He said, "I understand the need to create more space in the bus station, but health and safety is paramount and needs to be considered." A spokesman for Transport for West Midlands said, "This is one of the options that have been explored at concept stage to ensure designs going forward meet the capacity needs for Dudley Town Centre, as well as the ability to work alongside the proposed Midland Metro extension and to give passengers the best possible journey experience when changing modes."
Members of a West Midlands mosque have condemned the terrorist atrocities that have broken hearts and bodies in Manchester and London. 8 people have been confirmed to have died and up to 50 injured after terrorists rammed pedestrians on London Bridge and went on a knife rampage in nearby Borough Market. Just a day before, a musical memorial event was staged in Manchester to honour victims of the Manchester Arena bomb, which killed 22 adults and children and injured 116. Mohammed Zarab, Acting General Secretary of Lies Gehazia Mosque off the High Street, moved to condemn the appalling attacks and branded the perpetrators disbelievers. He said, "It's terrible. It's got nothing to do with religion. It's got nothing to do with Islam. They don't actually believe in what is in the Quran. They're just killing innocent people. In the Quran, it says, don't kill innocent men, women and children. As Muslims in Loy, they're totally against it. Innocent people shouldn't die like this." Mr. Zarab a former Dudley Borough councillor for Lye, said he would urge anyone who spots unusual behaviour or signs of radicalisation in people they know to report it by calling the police anti-terrorist hotline on 0800 789 321.
A secretary who inexplicably tried to steal £10,000 from her company in a clumsy cheque scam has been jailed. Amanda Edwards' own lawyer even described her crimes as a bad attempt which was never going to work. The 57-year-old mother of four grown-up children tried to cash a cheque for herself worth £10,000 by using one she had stolen from Claridge Electricals, based in Brown Hills and Walsall Wood, where she worked part-time. Edwards of Litchfield Road, Walsall, off-drafted it herself, and vigilant bank staff noticed the handwriting was similar on the cheque to the paying in slip, whilst the signature later emerged to be false. A stop had also been placed on it when the firm discovered it was missing, which alerted police when she tried to cash it in November, Wolverhampton Crown Court heard. Edwards pleaded guilty to theft by employee and fraud by misrepresentation, earning her a 6-month jail term. It is not the first time she has tried to steal from her employers, having several previous convictions for similar offences to her name and being imprisoned for 12 weeks in July 2015. Speaking in her defence, Barrister Andrew Baker said, "There is no rational explanation for what she did. Her family circumstances have been troubled for a long way back. She is in a stable relationship, although she cares for her partner, and recently had the trauma of losing her father. It is accepted these offences are strikingly similar to ones she committed 10 to 15 years ago. It is accepted this is a high-value deception from a small firm, but it was never going to work. The value of that cheque was always going to be queried. This doesn't have a degree of sophistication. In very short terms, it was a bad offence." He added, "She has accepted what she has done."
Families in King Swynford are now settling into their homes as the keys to the latest council houses are handed over in the new £650,000 council house development in Marley Road. Dudley Council has been working in partnership with developer Jessop Brothers during the last few months to create affordable homes for families on former garage sites. In Marley Road, 5 2-bedroom homes have been built as part of a £650,000 development, which will provide families with contemporary living spaces, private gardens and driveways. The council has also spent £1.4 million to develop 11 new homes in Coseley. The work on the developments, which is part of the council's millions of pounds worth of investment into new housing, was completed ahead of schedule and within budget. Alan Lunt, strategic director of place at Dudley Council, said, "These new builds are of huge significance to the borough, as they provide 16 new affordable homes that are in such high demand. We anticipate an additional 55 homes will be built this year, giving a clear message that we are doing what we can to support families of all ages by providing good quality, affordable homes. Every single new house, bungalow or apartment we create counts, as each one provides a home and an opportunity for people to set down roots and be part of a community."
Two naive women who breached a Black Countrywide ban on car cruising by organising a gathering have been hit with a £3,000 bill by the High Court. More than 80 people responded to an internet invitation posted by 19-year-old Chloe Kendrick of Bilston and Devon Roden, aged 25, of Netherton, in April. Both admitted breaching an injunction which came into force in 2015, banning people from taking part in a car cruise anywhere in Dudley, Sandwell, Walsall and Wolverhampton, or from promoting, organising or publicising one. Police intercepted their post on the Pouts and Pistons Facebook page, hosted by the two women, on April the 19th, the court heard. The invitation called on people to meet up the following Sunday evening at Tesco, Burntree Island, a well-known car cruising hotspot. The planned meeting quickly attracted a large following, prompting officers from Wolverhampton's Council Antisocial Behaviour Team to visit Kendrick and Roden and advise them they were in breach of the High Court injunction. The court, sitting in Birmingham, heard that Kendrick quickly removed the post from Facebook, while Roden contacted those planning to attend to inform them the event was cancelled. Although the gathering did not go ahead, West Midlands Police and Central Motorway Policing Group were diverted to the location in case it did. George McKenna told the women, having posted and organised such an event, significant police resources had to be deployed to the Burntree Island area on the evening of the 23rd of April. Resources that could have been more usefully used elsewhere throughout the West Midlands. Judge McKenna described Kendrick and Roden as naive and said he was sure they would not repeat such foolishness. They were each fined £1,000, offered to pay Wolverhampton Council's cost of £500, and warned that any further breach of the injunction would likely result in prison sentences.
A teenage girl and her mother miraculously managed to clamber from their car after it was hit by a 30-foot tree. Moments before they had arrived home and pulled onto the driveway outside, the tree fell crushing the rear of the car. The 18-year-old was sitting in the back and suffered a head injury as the roof crushed in by around a third, says firefighters. She was able to get out along with her mother, who had been in the front, by the time the fire crews arrived in Uplands Drive. Watch Commander Keith Hampton from Dudley Fire Station said it was very lucky the pair had not already been out of the car when the tree fell. They were saved, really, because there was extensive damage caused, he said. They were very lucky they had only just arrived home. The teenager was taken to Russell's Hall Hospital for further treatment. A West Midlands Ambulance Service spokesman said, when we arrived, one patient managed to get out of the car and she was assessed. She had head injuries and was given pain relief before taken to hospital. Pictures taken by fire crews on the scene show a large tree which had fallen onto the roof of their car. The fire crew had contacted Dudley Council to cut up and remove the tree. Part of the pavement had been sectioned off outside nearby homes. Fortunately, the tree missed neighbouring houses.
Almost 2 million has been spent helping smokers in Staffordshire and the Black Country to kick the habit in less than 12 months. More than 5,000 people reported that they had successfully quit after turning to experts for help between April and December 2016, according to the latest figures. The amount spent on help and support per smoker varied across the area, ranging from £258 in Dudley and to £1,002 in Wolverhampton. One-to-one support sessions, advice on nicotine replacement therapy, such as gum and patches, and a scheme for pregnant women and their families, are among the top smoking services provided by councils. A total of £1,963,985 was spent by councils in the region during the period, with the bill including the cost of pharmacotherapies, which aimed to reduce the symptoms of nicotine withdrawal. The cost of stop smoking services in Staffordshire was £550,340 and 1,442 people successfully quit as a result of the support that they received. The cost per smoker was £382. County Councillor Alan White, Cabinet Member for Health, Care and Wellbeing, said, There are a number of services to help people quit smoking, and we support people to access these services. We have invested in digital forms of advice around how to stop smoking, and we commission services that support pregnant women, especially to stop smoking, because of the benefits to the mother and the baby. In Walsall, 1,210 people were able to give up, and the amount spent was £499,508 at a cost of £413 per person. While in Wolverhampton, the bill was £381,651, and the 381 were successfully quit. In Sandwell, the amount spent on each smoker was £413, a total of £304,919 was paid out for support services during the period, with 1,147 people reporting that they had given up. The total spent in 2015-16 was £3,241,243, which was down from 2014-15 figure of £4,648,082.
A burglar has admitted the attempted murder of a factory security guard, aged 73, after attacking him with a shovel as he lay defenceless on the ground. CCTV footage at Stoke Forgings in Briley Hill showed Lee Parsons raining blows on 73-year-old with a shovel as he lay on the ground. Parsons kept up the savage attack for almost 20 minutes, kicking his victim in the head and stomach and leaving a trail of blood as he tried to drag him into an office. The 44-year-old was also seen going through the victim's pockets as he held him down. The footage was played to Wolverhampton Crown Court after Parsons initially denied the charge of attempted murder. After the images were played, he changed his plea to guilty. The tape showed the victim challenged Parsons and picked up a stick to defend himself after his assailant punched him in the face, knocking him backwards. The two men initially sparred with sticks until the defendant picked up a shovel and battered Mr. Matu until he fell to the ground. The victim, who kept trying to get to his feet, suffered serious head injuries and was in a critical condition in hospital for several days. Mr. Hugh O'Brien Quinn, prosecuting, told the court that the victim needed full-time care, could walk only with the aid of a Zimmer frame, and was on 27 tablets a day for his injuries. He was commended by Judge James Burridge for his remarkable resilience and bravery. Parsons, of no fixed abode, pleaded guilty to attempted murder and burglary. He was remanded in custody until July the 3rd, when he will be sentenced. A probation report and risk assessment on his danger to the public was ordered. And with that final item, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Margaret.
It's goodbye from Sue.
And goodbye from Joyce.